Hey, hey, Heat Nation! Welcome back to Heaters Gonna Heat. I'm your host, Kyle Russell, here to chat a little about our favorite NBA team, the Miami Heat. And I don't know about y'all, I'm still feeling a little jazzed after yesterday's buzzer beater by Bam Adebayo for the win, gets Miami in a two-game win streak. Miami, thankfully, after a four-game losing streak that extended through last week, did get some solid wins over Detroit over the weekend. And now we at least have some momentum before, rough last few weeks of the season as they try to get a playoff spot. And then to top it all off, did get some bad news over the weekend in regard to Tyler Hero that we'll talk about a little bit in the middle. But usual rundown, let's jump right on into it. Last week, Miami went 2-1, brings their overall record 37-30. We start out going to last Wednesday, where the Miami Heat would host the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, in a game that they would lose 88-100. Yep, 88 points. This really does feel exactly like the finals again. Injury report for Miami in this game. Out Tyler Hero, Kevin Love, they would be out all week again, unfortunately. Like I mentioned, we'll talk a little bit about Tyler Hero later on in the middle segment, and then Kevin Love later on. For the recap of the game itself, the Miami Heat's offense came up very stale, falling behind 21-9 about 8 minutes into the game. So, you know, again, you see that bad start to the Heat offense. They don't even crack double-digit points until there's 4 minutes left in the first quarter, though they would finish off that first quarter well, only being down 7. I think it was like 26-19. Yeah, so take 8 minutes to score 9 points and then score 10 points in the last 4 minutes. It is what it is with this team sometime. And then in the second quarter, Denver just kept finding answers to keep Miami from going on runs or to keep Miami from tying or even taking a lead. The Heat getting as close as 1 in the second quarter, but still found themselves down 6 at the half after a bad close where Denver was able to push their lead back up. Third quarter, Miami's defense did help them exchange leads in the third, so it's not like they were never in the game even at any point, but they would still be down 1 going into the fourth, and really it's about like the fourth quarter. Denver got it out to an early lead in the fourth, and then their defense just strangled Miami in a very familiar formula where just the Heat could not get any good looks against Denver's sides. And then to add insult to injury, the Nuggets didn't even feel the need to play Jamal Murray down the closing minutes of the fourth quarter, in part because Reggie Jackson was playing pretty well throughout the middle minutes of the fourth, and then other parts because Miami, like offensively, they didn't really threaten the Nuggets. Player of the game for this, though, just to move on from that, Bam Adebayo, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, on not bad efficiency, 7 of 15 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3-point range. This was his 10th made 3-pointer in his career, though 2 of 4 from the free throw line, because that does continue a worrying trend at the free throw line, where he's shooting like 50-60%. But overall, did his job considering he also held Nikola Jokic, again, I think best player in basketball right now, to a relatively bad stat line, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists on 5 of 8 from the field. So while that is efficient, that is a really limited number of field goal attempts. No 3-point attempts from Jokic and only 2 of 3 from the free throw line. So more so a game where Jokic felt like, hey, I got this Bam Adebayo dude that's just locking me down and making everything difficult. I'm just going to keep passing it out. And on the one hand, it was effective because Jokic ended up with a great stat line. On the other, though, Miami didn't threaten it to the point that Jokic felt like he would have had to push the issue down the stretch. I still count that as a win for Bam Adebayo, nonetheless, just because he still did it. He's one of a handful of players that can put Jokic in that kind of position. Moving on from there, stats from this game. Nuggets just shut off the 3-point shooting from the Heat again. One of the things I've noticed about this Nuggets over the regular season, just as a casual NBA observer, they have ratcheted their defense up post All-Star break in the kind of move that you see from like veteran championship level teams that just scares the hell out of me. But in this game, really shut off Miami's 3-point shooting. Heat going 5 of 21, good for 24%, versus the Nuggets 11 of 33 for 33%. And despite winning the turnover battle, Miami only committing 8 to the Nuggets 9, they lost points off of turnovers, Miami only making 10 to the Nuggets 15. And also, no player for the Heat scored 20-plus points. So that was the other thing towards giving Bam the player of the game. Well, it wasn't the biggest point total versus, like, even compared to his season average. It's not like there was anybody else that was really scoring a lot of points, even Jimmy. But to real quick, go back to that three-point shooting, right? Miami, 5 of 21. 21 three-point attempts. We are in an era where teams can make 21-plus three-pointers in a game. I think the NBA record is like 25 maybe at this point. I remember it's been broken in recent years. But just to say, Miami not even getting that many attempts up says a little bit about the Heat and some of the ways that they were unable to get to that. But also, again, got to give some credit to the Nuggets defense for limiting the Heat from three-point line. One last mention before closing out this game. Something has to change for Miami to close this gap against the Nuggets, you know, if there is a repeat of the NBA Finals coming down the line. Whether that's having Tyler Hero healthy, because that's been another caveat. They have not played the Nuggets with Hero at least to sometime last season, maybe if Hero was healthy then, but not through the Finals and not through the two games this season, because Hero was out for both of those. So that could be one variable. Another potential variable could be Jovic blooming over the next few weeks to months and starting to turn into a more legit player. This game, though, he was only 1-3 from the field, so like he's just not even getting the attempts up, really. But something like one of those two. And the biggest fear in my mind right now is even if the Heat do get one or both of those, it may not make a difference. I remember Ryan Russillo and Bill Simmons on his podcast talked about this idea after a Celtics-Nuggets game where Russillo made the argument that there's a gap between the Nuggets and the Celtics and it didn't feel like that big, but it just felt insurmountable. Like there's nothing you can do to overcome that last little bit of gap to get to the level to where the Nuggets are at. And I mean, I feel the same way after watching these Nuggets Heat games where the Heat are throwing lots of great things at them. I mean, again, they have consistently held the Nuggets, a historically great offense, especially with a historically great offensive player, to like below 110 regularly, sometimes 100. They held them to 100 in this game, but the Nuggets had the answer for them on the defensive end. I suppose I should move on from this, but again, finals rematch, I felt the need to go a little bit longer on this. Let's just blow through the other two real quick, because they're against a lesser competition, for lack of a better term, though they didn't really play like it, but after the Denver Nuggets game last Wednesday, the Heat would go on the start of their road trip starting in Detroit last Friday against the Detroit Pistons, a game that they won 108-95. Injury report, same as it was Wednesday with Hero and Love out. Recap for this game, Heat had an early 14-7 lead, but they coughed that up and ended up the first quarter down one. So again, that's what I say, like the Pistons just would not roll over and die. The lead went back and forth in the second until the Heat got out on a 9-0 run to extend the lead, but the Pistons would trim that down to 2 by the half. But hey, at least Heat moving in the right direction won the second quarter. Third quarter score was close until the Heat got out on a 15-0 run to be up 18 points, though a 7-0 late run by the Pistons would close that gap down to 12 going into the fourth. And in the fourth quarter itself, the Heat's defense just locked in, getting up 21 points with about 5 minutes left before coasting to the finish. So I said, like, Friday game, relatively drama-free by the end of it. A player of the game here, Bam Adebayo, again, 22 points, I think team-leading 22 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, so really stacking in the defensive metrics there. On 10 of 14 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3-point range, again, 2 games in a row now, though 1 of 3 from the free throw line. Also, continuing the troubling trend along with the good trend. And seems to have gotten out of whatever slump he was in for the few weeks post-All-Star break. Like, he's starting to produce on the offensive end. He's getting the double-digit rebounds like he had against the Nuggets. Starting to make three-pointers as well. The only 20-plus scorer of this Heat team in this game. So, yeah, he's definitely team high then. And, you know, still doing the lockdown defensive stuff. So, player of the game, Bam Adebayo. Interesting stats from this game. Miami just punished Detroit off of turnovers. Not only winning the turnover battle by a wide margin, 8-17, but also points off of turnovers, 33-12. And most of those in the fourth quarter in particular. Though Miami would lose three-point shooting, going 7 of 34, very frigid 21%. to Detroit's not much better, 10-38%. 10-38, good for 26%. But Miami made up for that difference in three-point shooting by dominating in the paint, especially off of turnovers, going 64 to Detroit's 38. And then mentioned before we get out of this one, Thomas Bryant, a good 11 points, 4 rebounds on 5 of 8 from the field in the fourth quarter alone. So Bam Adebayo never had to come in, as this eventually became a blowout game. So nice to see Bam getting that rest. And then Thomas Bryant, seems like in the absence of Kevin Love that Bryant's now back in the good graces. This has been a bit of a roller coaster all season, so who knows how long this could go. It's definitely going to go away once Kevin Love is back. But I think until then, it looks like Spo is leaning more towards Bryant for the backup five. And let's continue this, finish this off yesterday, against the Detroit Pistons, a game that Miami won 104-101. Listed out for the Heat, not just Kevin Love and Tyler Hero, but also Jimmy Butler due to a foot injury. I believe I heard he got stepped on in the Friday game against the Pistons. And then Nikola Jovic tweaked a hamstring, so he was also out. So Jaime Jaquez would start in place of Jimmy Butler. We've seen that frequently. And then Haywood Highsmith start in place of Nikola Jovic. I think that makes sense, just because Highsmith has experience playing the four, and then you can keep Caleb in his bench role. Recap for the game of this one. A little bit of a familiar first quarter. Heat, again, jumped out to a 13-4 lead, but again, lost it on a 10-0 run by the Pistons and would finish the first quarter down 2. But over the second quarter, they just steadily got themselves into a groove and, like, no major runs, but just kept pushing what was a deficit into a lead, into a large 10-point lead going into the half. So, feeling good. All right, maybe we can just have a repeat of the Friday game, please. Throughout the third quarter, the Heat held a lead as high as 17. And in a similar fashion to like Friday, where they gave up a run that trimmed that lead to a little bit, they did it way worse, giving up a 13-0 run to close out the third. Heat only up 3 going into the fourth quarter. And then in the fourth quarter itself, the Heat just could not put the Pistons away. Some sloppy mistakes of their own. Some stuff that just I think the Pistons did a little bit well. The lead would get tied a few times, and eventually, down the stretch of the game, in the closing seconds, we are tied 101-101. Cade Cunningham, for some reason, goes for a shot. Like, well, the attempt was not too bad. The problem was more so contextual, because there was like 10 seconds left on the clock. So even if he made that shot, Miami still would have had a chance to tie, maybe even take the lead, depending upon what happened. And sure enough, it went clanked. Miami got the ball. They come up the court. Terry Rozier drives in, collapses two defenders onto him, kicks back to a trailing Bam Adebayo, just lets it fly. Buzzer goes off. Shot goes in. Heat win 104-101 off of a Bam Adebayo buzzer-beating three. Player of the game, I gotta give it to Bam again, third game in the row. He's taking them all this week. 20 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 9-13 from the field, 1-1 from 3-point range, the buzzer beater, 1-2 from the free throw line, 9 points, 4 rebounds in the fourth quarter alone, and then, you know, 3 of those 9 points being the game winner, just edges him out for Duncan Robinson for me. Which I'll talk about in a little bit as well. But just to stay on that for a moment, like, Bam Adebayo, 12 career threes, and 3 of them have come from the last 3 games. And this is the talking point for so long, from every single Heat podcast that has discussed this. Like, when is Bam going to start shooting threes? It goes all the way back to when he tried out for the Heat before the draft, where one of the things, like, the thing that impressed Riley and Spo the most was always Bam's defensive tenacity. But another thing that caught their interest was his ability to shoot threes. I think it was like 40 of 100 or something back then, or maybe 60 of 100 if I don't remember that right. But it was good enough that it was intriguing. And then it just kind of got buried for so long. And if we're starting to see it now, it's definitely very well welcome. To finish up the games, though, interesting stats for this Pistons game. Heat still won the turnover battle 9-12, and points off of turnovers 19-13, but that got trimmed up a little bit. I think you see an emphasis by Detroit there. But the Heat on their end did better job from three-point range, going 12-35, good for 34%, versus the Pistons 14-36, good for 39%. So those battles getting a little bit closer, but, you know, you see where the Pistons picked up a little bit, you see where the Heat picked up a little bit, and at the end of the day, though, Heat were able to walk away with a win. And then to finish this up with the mention, honorable mention, definitely honorable, Duncan Robinson, 30 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists on 10 of 15 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3-point range, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Again, great, great case for player of the game. I just had to give it to Bam for the game winner as well as the overall production as well. But Duncan Robinson, with that first made three tonight, last night, became the fastest player in NBA history to 1,003. So again, think of all the great shooters in NBA history, Reggie Miller, Steph Curry, especially more recent ones, Buddy Hield, and Duncan got faster to 1,000 threes than all of them. Again, good reminder. One of the things that has been powering this Jimmy Bam run throughout these last 5 years has been Duncan Robinson turning into one of the greatest three-point shooters in NBA history. So with that, the Heat not only broke their losing streak, it got as far as four, but they broke it with those Detroit games. They've also started a winning streak, in spite of some bad news regarding Tyler Hero that was out over the weekend. So over the weekend, we got a little bit of an injury update for Tyler Hero, who had been out since I believe the New Orleans Pelicans game, where like a hyperextended left knee, and things went a little dark for a while, like kind of just assumed it was the knee that kept him out, but then got an update over the weekend. It is an apparent foot injury that's been keeping him out, and over the weekend received a platelet rich plasma injection, which I have a little bit of a biology background, a bachelor's, I got two masters in it, but most of my stuff is mainly immunology. I did a little bit of blood work, so I know some of the theory. I don't necessarily know the medical side of things, but from what I understand, essentially what this is you take a patient's blood, and then blood is composed of several components, red blood cells, platelets, plasma, and you're filtering out the blood cells, leaving just the plasma and platelets behind, and then you enrich it by concentrating it, and then you inject it back specifically into an injury site to help promote the healing process based off of concentrating healing factors that are within the blood itself. So what that suggests to me is that I don't think this is necessarily an issue with Hero being injury prone. Like, again, you look back at the course of his injury history, and yes, he's a little bit of a more slender player, so it does happen, but a lot of his injuries have been things like hustle plays. Hey, I went and, again, the most famous one, I went and dove for a loose ball and ended up missing the entire 2023 playoffs. So I don't think it's an issue with Hero being injury prone so much as it may be an issue with Hero taking much longer to recover from the injuries. Because another thing that was reported alongside this foot injury, which different than the knee injury that originally happened, is that this foot injury has been something that's been persistent, at least low-lying, for the last few years since his rookie season. So, yeah, that's where I look at that and say, okay, maybe somebody has a little bit of a difficulty coming back from injury. Back to that hand injury last year. There was optimism that he could have been back sometime in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he ended up not even being back in time for the actual finals. So to bring this back to now, essentially what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about how I think this impacts Miami in short term, medium term, long term. So first, short term, which is pretty much just the last few weeks of the regular season, where the goal here, hey, get a top six seed, avoid the play-in tournament. At this point, look, Hero's going to be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. That's going to be pretty much just right up against the edge of the playoffs at the end of the regular season, like end of March, beginning of April. So at this point, Duncan's your starting two. I think Jovic continues to be your starting four because he gives you a little bit of playmaking that Tyler also brought that you now need to try to get from a different source. I also think you see more threes coming from Jimmy Butler, and then maybe more above the break threes, like the kind that Bam Adebayo has been taking, maybe start to see him doing one or two of those a game. Because another big problem, when you're down Tyler Hero, he's one of your volume three-point shooters. And for the Heat, they need space to operate. That's Jimmy and Bam have to have it. And if Tyler's not there to provide it, well, hey, all right, sorry guys, you got to start providing a little bit of it yourself. start taking threes, start stretching the defense out, and then that'll give Jimmy and Bam opportunities to try to blow by people. But while also keeping the general shot diet of Miami a little bit more lifted up from three-point range, since it's going to be depressed with Hero out. Another thing I think in the short term, feature Terry a little bit more as that scoring point guard. Like, again, one of the things that the Heat have always been looking for in this Jimmy Bam era, whether it was originally from Dragic, whether they were hoping to get from Lowry, but then really quite in the latter parts, and then eventually what they were hoping to get from Hero, is a scoring threat from the guard position. So, hey, Terry, done a great job as a playmaker so far. The shot's starting to come around. Lean a little bit more into Terry Rozier as more of a scoring threat from the guard position to help, again, make up for the lack of scoring with Hero out. And then the last part, I think, is just the Heat in general with their rotation lean more towards defense with this. You know, maybe take some of those minutes that would have gone to Hero and give them more to Caleb Martin, who's better on the defensive end, or Haywood Highsmith, or even DeLon Wright. Like, I think we've been seeing a little bit of this back and forth, most recently in the last game, between Patty Mills and DeLon Wright, where Patty Mills came in and kind of just completely usurped that backup guard spot. In the Pistons game, it started to look like it was shifting a little bit more towards DeLon Wright. I think it should go more towards DeLon Wright because at the very least, you know he's going to bring it on the defensive end. And then, again, just zoom out to Miami and whole over these next few weeks. Lean into their defense. The NBA did put out a memo where they're trying to taper some of the offensive production and allowing players to be a little bit more physical on the defensive end. That fits exactly into what Miami wants to do. And I think that could be their recipe for short-term success with Tyler Hero out. In the medium term, which would be pretty much like the playoffs, where the goal is to win a title, this is the trickiest part. Because at this point, I am 50-50 on what happens when Tyler Hero comes back. Because I do think he will be back by the time the playoffs start. Which then becomes the question of, okay, does Hero start or does Duncan start? So early in the season, I've been pretty heavily on the Hero start side. So just to give that side of the argument real quick, the reason why Tyler Hero starts, Duncan Robinson sits, I think Tyler Hero is still a better player overall than Duncan Robinson, though I mean, Duncan's closing that gap a little bit. But Hero gives you like a little bit more on-ball juice. He can run a little more pick and roll. I think if he were to figure out how to get his offense to fit in with Jimmy and Bam, that's where the higher ceiling is. And while this is a little bit more of a long-term thing, there's also the politics of it, where you got this guy, you get him a big contract, you made him a starter, and then you're going to move him to the bench, and then you're going to try to trade him in the offseason. Like, it doesn't signal a lot of value to the rest of the league, therefore he would not be as useful in trades. So again, that's a bit more of a long-term thing. And the last the positive, or at least maybe I should say, reason why I think Tyler Hero would be the starter, it's because Spo had the opportunity to move him back to the bench earlier in the season and didn't. He seemed to want to stick with Tyler Hero as a starter. So I don't necessarily think that Hero's done anything to lose his job beyond just, hey man, he got injured. And so maybe that necessarily doesn't feel fair to him. Now, the other side of it, the growing case, as I feel, for Duncan Robinson being the starter. I mean, at this point, he has been the starter for about half of the season now with how much time Hero's missed. So it's not like, you know, this is an unfamiliar thing. He's also been the starter most recently since the All-Star break. So he's the one building continuity with the starters. And he's playing great. And if you look over the course of the season, played great as a starter when Hero was out earlier on. Kind of looked like he slumped a little bit when he went back to the bench. Some of the production dropped. Well, more specifically, some of the efficiency dropped. Because the production was going to drop. But some of the efficiency dropped as well. And then it looks like it's popped back up as a starter. And so if you're trying to sit there and think to yourself and saying, okay, well, how do I get the best out of Duncan Robinson? It seems to be you make him a starter. And maybe that means you give him a little bit of a shorter minutes leash to bring Hero off the bench. Or maybe even try to play the two of them alongside each other. I don't know. But if you get the best of Duncan as a starter and Hero can still be as productive off the bench, well, then the team's just overall better. And then it also does not pull away from Tyler Hero being a closer. He can still be the closer. He did that a lot when he was the sixth man. And then you are putting him in that sixth man role where was the best one in it in the entire league the first year he really tried. So that could be the best way to get as much offensive juice out of Miami as possible. And then another factor towards bringing Hero off the bench is you can bring him back at an easier pace than if you just threw him in at a starting lineup. Like, he would essentially have, hey, here's a week, and then we go into playoff basketball, hope you're ready. Versus, hey, here's a week off the bench, and then once we get into the playoffs, we can worry about taking you off the bench. And maybe after, you know, winning a series or two, then it's like, all right, hey, this has been established now. Let's just keep this rolling as long as it takes. So, either, again, I think at this point it's 50-50, and I put it in Spo, I trust. So, whatever he goes with, I'll be fine with. And then the last part for the medium term of this is it could literally go back and forth. We might have a series where Duncan's the starter. We might have another series where Hero's the starter. And when within a series, that could also be a curveball as well, where like one game, maybe Spo starts Hero, and then the next game he starts Duncan, or maybe there's another game where he starts both because Rozier gets injured, or Rozier potentially moves the pitch. I don't know. Spo does crazy things in the playoff. I'm all for it. But the medium term just is, what's it going to be like when Hero comes back, and will he still start over Duncan Robinson? And then in the long term, which would be this summer and beyond, where the goal is, you know, you want to be able to compete for the next title. There's a lot of importance first on these playoffs for Tyler Hero. Because, you know, I've talked about this before as well. You look at the arc of his playoff history, it's a little worrying. So it did start off great. 2020 in the bubble, phenomenal. I mean, it was what, the 35-36 point game against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. He was up there on lists with, like, Magic Johnson. Like, hey, you're doing great stuff. If you're like, hey, this is a rookie player, and he compares to, like, Magic Johnson. Phenomenal. Since then, though, that's been the peak. 2021, he was terrible. That's the Milwaukee sweep, which a lot of people remember as, like, oh, this one, Brent Forbes outscored Jimmy Butler. Yes, that is that one. But a big contributing factor to that sweep was Tyler Hero just got absolutely smothered by the Bucks. And then 2022 was a little bit mixed. That was when Miami was the first seed. Tyler Hero was sixth man coming off the bench. But he had a groin injury throughout the 2022 playoffs. And, you know, a little bit of... Well, it's harder to judge a groin injury because groin injuries are notorious for being finicky to come back from. But nonetheless, not necessarily an impressive showing in the 2022 playoffs. And then, of course, last year, broke his hand out the entire playoffs. So his most productive year has been his rookie season. And that was an entire presidential term away, as I've heard some people start to use frequently. But that's not good. So, again, Hero. And this is why I think I actually prefer the way that the Heat have approached this, where they got something going with Duncan Robinson, and then just trying to make sure that Hero is as healthy as possible. Because the Heat really do need to see what they have from Tyler Hero for the long term. Whether that's, hey, we actually managed to get this guy healthy to the playoffs, and he balled out. Yes, this is a guy that we can keep and help build around, like, use him for the bridge to Bam Adebayo's era, where he's the best player in Miami Heat. Or, hey, this is a guy that does have some good things, but not what we necessarily need, and so therefore we need to trade him. Like, the Heat need to have a clearer picture of that, and also a clearer picture of his value if they want to go out and trade him to the league. Because, like, again, one of the big problems last year was the Heat saying, hey, Tyler Hero, he's a really great player, Portland, or whoever else, you should be interested in him. And all the other teams going, how great can he be if he made the finals without him? You know, it made his value suspect. So even if Tyler Hero does have a bad playoffs, at least the Heat know, and then they can adjust how they work these trades accordingly. So taking a step back, the news is concerning regarding Hero, but there's still a multitude of different ways that this could end up. From, you know, the worst case scenarios of, like, he's injured and he ends up just missing the entire season, to the best case scenario of he comes back, he balls out, he ends up being the factor that gets Miami over the hump all the way to a title. Moving on now, let's start to wrap things up. First up, injury report for Miami. Jimmy Butler listed day-to-day with a foot injury, though I could see him playing tonight, mainly just trying to get a little bit of extra rest. Again, road back-to-back, he played last night, they also played tonight. Makes sense. You can say, hey, Jimmy, take the extra day, make sure if it's fine, come back for Philly, make sure to finish things off there. Nikola Jovic also listed day-to-day with a hamstring, but hamstrings are finicky, like groin injuries, so I could actually see Jovic just missing both of the games altogether. Kevin Love listed out for heel, still. Have not heard if he's on the flight with the team. So I, at this point, I don't expect Kevin Love back until the homestand later on in the week. And then last on the injury report, already talked about him a little bit, Tyler Hero. He's out and to be reevaluated closer to the end of March, another week or two. So looking at the standings currently, a little bit of bad news in that a two-game gap has started to open up between the Magic currently at the fifth seed and the sixth seed, which is currently the Indiana Pacers. So we used to have that 4-8 range. Now 4 and 5 are starting to separate themselves out a little bit. So we still got a 6-8, where the Heat are currently at 7th, mixed in there, Pacers at 6, and Sixers at 8th. The good news, at least, is that there's still, I guess, if you want to call this good news, there's still a 4.5 game gap between the 8th seed and the Bulls at 9th. So again, no, does not look like any danger of the Heat falling further into the play-in, but there is at least a little bit of risk in that it looks like there might only be one, that sixth seed, that Miami can for sure keep in reach. Plan for the Heat this week, they have two more games to finish up their four-game road trip, and then they will return home for a four-game homestand. Jumping right into the games, first we have tonight at Philadelphia 76ers. This is a Sixers team that currently has a 37-30 record, 8th in the East. And the Heat are already up 2-0 in a best-of-four series. Gotta like that. It was Christmas Day, and then, right before the All-Star break as well. Interesting enough, Embiid missed both of those games. Listed out for the Sixers. Got a pretty long list, quite like the Heat. Melton, Covington, Embiid, Jones, all out for sure tonight. Tobias Harris listed day-to-day. Players to watch out for the Sixers, Tyrese Maxey. I mean, he's that kind of fast guard that typically gives the Heat problems. I wonder if we might see, like, DeLon Wright get some minutes on him, see if he can slow him down. At least Caleb Martin. Tobias Harris, if he ends up playing. Kelly Oubre has been a thorn in the Heat side in the two games that he's played against them. And then Buddy Hield is just a dangerous three-point shooter. Always got to keep an eye out on him. Looking at stats real quick, mainly just focused on the last 15 games to try to get a sense of what they're like without Embiid. They've been 23rd in offensive rating, 23rd in defensive rating, 29th in pace. For things that they've done well over the last 15 games, mainly it's just been controlling turnovers. 8th in turnover percentage themselves, while 4th in opponent turnover percentage. So they're going to try to win that turnover battle. Miami typically likes to win that, so keep an eye on, like, how the turnovers are going throughout the game is what I would say towards, like, for the thing that the Sixers have been doing well recently. For things that they've been doing bad, 29th in effective field goal percentage. They have not been shooting well without Embiid. 27th in opponent free throw rates, letting opponents get to the free throw line a lot. 25th in opponent offensive rebounding percentage. So that plays into the Heat's defense well. That plays into the Heat getting into the line well. And while the Heat are not really an offensive rebounding team too much, that maybe that's something they could try to lean into a little bit more for tonight in particular, since the Sixers have been so bad at that recently. And then looking at storyline for this game, first off, the Sixers do have the rest advantage as well as a home advantage. After that, the Sixers are staring at a play-in spot without Joel Embiid. So can the Heat take advantage on second out of a road back-to-back to just build some separation, at least getting away from the 8 seed? We're literally in the last few weeks of the season, and this could be a big step towards, like, hey, no, I kick you down there, I start to build separation against you, and then at the very least, if you slip into the play-in, have home court for those two. And while also, again, trying to get to 6 and get out. After this game against the Sixers tonight, the Heat will finish up their road trip Wednesday at the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's the Cavaliers team that currently has a record 42-25, third in the East, tied 1-1 in a best of four, where the Heat blew them out one game, and then they got blown out another game. Fun stuff. Listed out for the Cavs, for sure Evan Mobley will continue to be out. He is, like, as I looked up, just getting out of a walking boot, so he's still like probably another week or two away from playing. Max Strus and Donovan Mitchell are possibly out. They're both dealing with injuries as well, so we'll kind of have to see there. Looking at players to watch out for sure for the Cavaliers, Darius Garland. I don't think he's necessarily like the highest ceiling of a point guard, but he's got a really high floor, and he's just a really solid player overall, especially on the offensive end. So I think it's worth, again, it'll be a fun matchup for like a DeLon Wright or a Caleb Martin or a Haywood Highsmith to try to slow down. And then Jared Allen, a legit center, so that'll be a good matchup for Bam to go up against. Looking at stats for the Cavaliers, currently 16th in offensive rating, 3rd in defensive rating, 21st in pace. Things that they do well, 3rd in opponent effective field goal percentage while being 4th in opponent field goal attempts. So the defense is just phenomenal. 6th in personal fouls, 8th in opponent three-point attempts. So they do a great job of limiting opponent threes as part of their defense. While being 7th in three-point attempt rate of their own, while being 16th in three-point percentage. So like on the a lot of the things are mainly defensive, like 3rd in opponent effective field goal percentage. 6th in personal fouls means opponents aren't getting to the line too much. 8th in opponent three-point attempts, they limit those. On the offensive end, they do a good job of getting up a ton of threes and hitting them at a decent rate. And then for things that the Cavaliers do bad, 23rd in field goal attempts, so they just aren't getting a ton of shots up. And then they're 21st in free throw rate themselves. So shut off the line, defend the three, and then just try to find ways to score against a really great defense. And at least Miami can have a recipe for winning this game. Look at the storyline here. Cleveland has actually been struggling lately. I think they were like 4-6 in their last 10, something like that, among some injuries and a little bit of a tougher schedule. So usual kind of question for this kind of situation is, can the Heat take advantage of somebody in a compromised position to get a win? Catching Cleveland was a little bit closer to a pipe dream at this point. They're still 5 games ahead of the Heat. But nonetheless, it's not impossible. So if Cleveland continues to crater and if Miami could take advantage of their easy schedule, this would also be a game where if Miami wins, they're at least up 2-1 in the best of 4. With one more game coming up sooner than you think. But first, the Heat will return home and then host the New Orleans Pelicans this Friday. This is a Pelicans team that has a 41-26 record, 5th in the West. Miami already up 1-0 in a best of 2 after that first game after the post-All-Star break to kick off the road trip. Then listed out for the Pelicans, Nance Jr. and Herbert Jones. Oh, sorry, they're just listed day-to-day, not listed out. Players to watch out for in the Pelicans: Zion Williamson, just a battering ram inside. Great matchup for Bam again. Brandon Ingram, really great perimeter scorer. CJ McCollum's mixing, good playmaker, good scorer. And then I have a little bit of respect for Valanciunas just because big body, can shoot a little bit, but really crashes the boards well. Looking at stats for the Pelicans, 9th in offensive rating, 7th in defensive rating, so top 10 in both is a scary combination. 16th in pace. For things that they do well, on the defensive end, they kind of have a weird defense where they pretty much try to flatten you out to the three-point line, limit penetration inside, and then try to poke things away even if you do get inside of them. So 29th in opponent three-point attempts, but first in opponent three-point percentage. So like, hey, we're going to let you stay out behind the three-point line and jack up as many as you want, but you're going to have a hand in your face. And it's usually because this is going to be the only shot that we're going to give you. Second in opponent two-point attempts. 2nd in steals. That's where that all kind of just comes together on defensive end for them. And it helps get them to the top 10 defensive. And then on the offensive end for them, 5th in three-point percentage. So that is where they really punish teams is with great three-point shooting. For the bad, though, while they are really, again, 5th in three-point percentage, they're shooting well from three-point range, they are 24th in three-point attempt rate. So they don't get a lot of them up. They're mainly like hunting for those really great three-point looks. Again, relying more on like a Zion inside, Valanciunas inside, Ingram, McCollum driving or shooting mid-ranges inside, things like that. And despite being 8th in free throw attempts, they are 21st in free throw percentage, so you can feel a little bit better about sending them to the line. And then they are 18th in opponent two-point percentage. So, well, they do a great job defending three-point line first in opponent percentage there. If you can get inside, get past them trying to like swipe and steal the ball off of you, you can get a little bit of a better look at the rim. And then storyline for this game. Last time these teams played each other, it was very physical and to the point that eventually players got suspended because of a fight. So for this game, I'm hoping to see a little bit more of the former, that same physicality, that like playoff feel to it, just going down to the wire. I just hope you don't see the latter, because it's not the time in the season for any more suspensions or injuries of the sort. And then also, just can the Heat pull out a season sweep against a legit Western foe? Like, the Pelicans are good. They're fifth in the West. They already have over 40 wins. They're a good team. The Heat beat them twice. That actually might be the most impressive thing on the Heat's regular season resume so far. And then to finish up the week, this Sunday, the Heat hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Told you it wouldn't be that far away from them. So the record, injury report, players, stats, that all stays the same. The storyline is what differs between the game Wednesday and the game Sunday. Where, how do these two teams fare against each other after seeing each other pretty recently? Did the Heat make the adjustments because the Cavs won, or are the Cavs the ones trying to make adjustments because the Heat won? And then, depending upon how that Wednesday game turns out, Sunday could be a situation where the Heat are up 2-1, in which case a win would get them up 3-1 and definitely have that tiebreaker in like the absolute best-case scenario. Plus, you would literally be winning two games against Cleveland, so like that's going to shorten the gap right there. Or it could be, 1-2, the Heat would need to win, so that way they at least tie it. Both two different ways that could turn out. So the thing that does suck is I don't know exactly what the storyline is going to be because it's contingent upon the Wednesday game. But I think that makes this like the week where you're looking at the Sixers tonight, obviously. And then after that, you're looking at how things play out with Cleveland over this week for the playoff picture for the Heat. So the Heat homestand continues the following Tuesday against the Golden State Warriors. And a little bit of a similar fashion next week, I'll also see what happens. Probably mainly look at like the playoff standings and how things are starting to shake up, because we will have had some pivotal games with Philly and Cleveland over this week that definitely will impact the standings. But I do thank you for hanging around. That'll be all now for this episode. Please, if you can, follow the pod at Heaters Heating and myself at KBR Heat Culture. Also, check out the other great pods we have at OTG Basketball, Brooklyn Buzz, Celtics Lab. They're always doing great stuff over there. Links for everything are in the show notes, as usual. I'll be back next week. So until then, hope you all have a great one, Heat Nation.